So this morning's lecture is based on a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Matya Lila, 22nd chapter, verse 33. Krishna to mahana yadi bale kabara maya banda haite Krishna tare kare para. Krishna to marhane jadi bale kabara maya banda haite Krishna tare kare para. This verse talks about what we do in bhakti in order to become liberated from the influences which condition us. You know, speaking very specifically about the chanting, we all, I think, have a deep understanding that my own conditionings are in the way of experiencing the full revelation of the holy name. We try to somehow give ourselves into the practice. Thank you. With all seriousness and make a good effort. But as my partner confidentially revealed to me yesterday, the tendency is to come back to one's old conditionings and lose one's grip on the practice. I believe this is a very important point which we have to confront in any serious transformative work. The point that we try to push the limits as we are on a retreat, for instance, or as we go each morning into our personal japa session, it's an attempt to really go into a new experience of bhakti. It's an attempt to go deeper into our relationship with Krishna. It's an attempt to advance. But so often we are really found to not be able to go before beyond a certain limit, or worse even, we go into an imagination that we have made an advancement, a concept, a pious it's called wishful thinking, I believe, where our desire for mystical experience or for experience in Krishna consciousness is taken up by our mind, and the mind paints a picture and tells us you are here, you made it, you saw Krishna, you felt him, you heard him in the first time. But because we go back to our old habits, we can safely assume that this was only a kalpana, an imagination, a dream of the mind, but nothing real. The real things would bring us on a step-by-step process from anatta nivritti to nishta and ruchi, as we all know. Then, yes, there may sometimes be again a trace of our conditioning which we feel, but over and all we progress, and we just don't move in a roller coaster up and down, you know, sometimes thinking we are the highest and sometimes feeling we are the lowest and so on. No, there should be some, if it's real, there should be some steady progress with measurable signs of our advancement in chanting. So we have to ask the question, why, despite our best wishes and attempts, do we seem to need one japa retreat after the other, and always start on ground zero or ground whatever it is? Let me ask the question differently. Why do we seem to be so unable to break loose from the chain which is holding us? There must be an invisible chain around our neck. I have a very good assistant, and we often discuss this. We often discuss it. Why did I again do this? I didn't want to do it. Why do I feel again so conditioned? I didn't want to feel that. I thought it should be should be advanced. And then we look around and we see the few dinosauria Vaishnavas around us, those who became old. But we grieve about the huge army of those who have gone, and write a litany of the gone in our mind. Do you remember him? Do you remember her? Where is he? Where is she? And we find out, in the land of his or her old conditioning. So what is this chain, and how can we loosen the chain at least, or widen the chain, or if possible cut the chain? That's a very big project. Let us at least lengthen the chain, and so on. This is a point I would like to address today. Here's a verse which explains this. And what is the chain? The chain is, very simply put, the clutches of Maya. And the verse addresses this. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." By the way, I need to say this, because some of you think, "Oh, this is very good, this verse. I want to write it down." And then we write down very quickly, and we just chase from one point to the next. I have a training newsletter called the Amritavani Training Newsletter, Amritavani Newsletter, which I'm putting together, and in a month's time I'm sending it out. It will be a compilation, and a comprehensive compilation. It means to put it a little bit more together in a zip code. You know, I don't mean it in a computer, but in a summary, and then you can get it and download it on your it will be sent to you on your computer, and then you have the important verses and important everything, and I don't need to just write that all, and so on. You can make notes, because sometimes notes help us to keep us on track, but you don't need to be in anxiety while you take notes. Prabhupada speaks about this being bond by by our own conditionings. You can, if you wish, in your free time, go to Yajna Purusha Prabhu and engage in a very, very, very interesting discussion about how other traditions have explained the conditioning and how you move into the condition, within the conditioning, up and down. I had a wonderful talk with him about one method to find out your personality and how you react and how you when there are certain stimuli coming, and as you hear this, sometimes revealing, it's called the Enneagram, and I know that some of you are familiar, but yeah, Purusha Prabhu is supremely familiar about this. And the first reaction when you hear how a tradition describes your particular chain, you know, your particular conditioning and how you react, how you move through the world. The first reaction is a very humbling feeling that, ooh, I'm not so unique. This seems to be a number which many bear on their forehead and so on. And it's a very healthy experience because it helps you to see the chain. I'm still skeptical about how successful self-improvement tools are to liberate us from the chain. I think they need to be complemented with a very, very profound spiritual practice so that they work. And we are discussing about this, and of course there's agreement. We are devotees, we all see this in similar ways. But Mahaprabhu speaks about this conditioning as weeds which consistently grow next to the bhakti lata, you know, the plant of bhakti, and stifle its growth in a very embarrassing way. So, yes, this conditioning, this, as you can call it, a chain, you can call it weeds, you can use any number of analogies, it is keeping us from really going into the land of Krishna consciousness. We are kept there. And mind you, this chain is very strong. Prabhupada says, this material consciousness is like a chain around the neck of the conditioned soul. As long as he is bound to that conception, oh my God, it's all chainy. He cannot get out of Maya's clutches. Thank you, you saved me. I almost... It's very strong. It can kill you. Awful. Very strong. Very strong. It's very strong that psychologists use a story which I have heard in India long ago, and I found it now in the works of a very famous psychology, George Borge or something, Borge, from Latin America. And he alerts us. He says, the conditioning is so strong, the chain is so thick. And then he gives an example. And he says, because it's a chain in the mind. It's an invisible chain. Few are aware of it, but even if they are aware, they have no means to cut it. Because how do you cut? What scissors will you bring to cut the chain in the mind? He tells us the story of an Indian circus where there was a fire, a huge fire. It was a terrible fire which burned the circus, but fortunately not all the animals. the majority, most of the element, the animals, with the exception of one, escaped. The panthers, the monkeys, the horses, the giraffes, everyone could escape because, as we know, when there's a fire, the body produces an excess of stress hormones and you get superman or superwoman like strings to run away. Everyone ran away except the strongest animal, the elephant. So they made the security insurance people made an investigation. Why could the strongest of all not escape? And as they made their investigation, they found out something very unsettling. Not only was the only animal who died in the flames and the raging fire the strongest, but his captivity seemed to be the most easy to break. He was only bound with a teensy weeny rope to some little plastic thing like this. It would have been very easy for him to escape. Why couldn't he run away and either break the teensy weeny rope or just destroy the foolish little plastic thing? Listen to this and cry, because it's your story. The elephant, when it was captured young, was tied with a very thick iron chain to a tree. It had been taken away from his mother, who roamed in the jungle and called for a little elephant baby. Boo, boo, come, come. But she wanted to come, the elephant baby. But the chain was so strong, and it tried to tear away for 1 week from the chain until the leg on which the chain was became bloody and infected with pus and worms. But still, for a whole week, the queen of the jungle, the princess of the jungle, we could call this young elephant, not yet the queen, princess of the jungle, tried to escape, but it couldn't. After 1 week, the elephant keeper took only a rope, and that was all which was necessary, because the chain was now in the mind. I can't escape. It's not possible. I tried and I failed. I cannot escape. And that chain is strongest chain. Once you are captive in your mind to your concepts, to your thoughts, to your conditioning, you are really caught. Once you accept, it's not possible. And it's a subconscious acceptance. It's not something where you analytically analyze it. It's just it's not possible. I can't. It's impossible. It does not work. And it is here where our discovery lecture starts. We have mental iron chains, and we can't see them directly, but everyone can see them directly, indirectly, if he wants. Or preachers who are accustomed to see these chains and who are trained to see these chains can see them and sometimes faint and think it's impossible. I can't continue this preaching. It's hopeless. The chains are too strong. How can you see them? If you want to see them, my dear devotees, but I warn you, they are terrible because they are covered with your own blood, these chains. What I mean is your attempts to become free, which have ended in failures, are so horrible to see that it is, you can cry when you see them. These chains are expressed in the way we think in our life and we act in our life. It's so subconscious. They are so dominating all of our perspective, and that it is in America, I think you would say, awesome, and awe-inspiring, not awesome, awe-inspiring. In the Bhagavatam it says, these chains have God-like powers over us. It means it's very heavy. So is there anything which we can do? And I'm now requesting you, after I have put such a heavy thing in your mind, to really listen, very critical. I have been warned by our lecturers, by our devotees, you should not give a pep talk, Satchinanda Swami. Pep talks are done when you want to go for the pick. I have learned this American slang word. Oh, yes, collect more. But not in a japa retreat. So I have to say something which works now, not a pep talk. And you now really listen, please listen, extremely critical. What is this, Swami? He wants to now say how we can break free from the chains. Let us listen. But let's prepare at the same time in our mind a cream cheese cake. And when he fails, we just throw it into his face. This is how I wish you to listen now. You know, it must be something real which you hear, because it's a real problem which we have. Can you see that it is a real problem, or do you feel it is not a real problem? It is a problem, the chain in the mind. It is a problem. It is a problem, Manu. It is a problem. Yeah. Krishna. Krishna and Kandamrita says, if you don't think it's a problem, you have a real problem. Yes. Jagannanda Pandit has written a work, Prema Vivata, and in the sixth chapter he addresses this problem. He says the problem is so bad that it forces us to take one body after the other. And he talks about this at length. He says that sometimes you become a king, then you become a beggar, then you take on even non-human forms because of this strong conditioning of Maya. And he says, I will say now, I think I want to make a little music, Gaurahari. Can you put my orchestra? Oh, it works. This is called limbic hearing. When you hear a little sound, then something happens in your other brain, and then you, in your other brain half, and then it's because of this. So it's not just because of eccentric reasons, but it's a learning tool. I just want to say, because I'm working on conservative grounds. It serves a purpose, in other words. Please now listen with an open heart to Shastra, how it gives a solution to this problem. The Shastra is composed by great Vaishnavas who have really put their hearts into what they explain. And please let us absorb it in this way. Something from great souls who have broken the chain. How do they address this? What is their remedy? Here it comes. Roaming about in the material world, taking one birth after another. If by chance the living entity comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes knowledgeable of his true identity as a pure spirit soul, an eternal servant of Krishna. Enlightened by this knowledge, he does not want material entanglement any longer, and he laments, "Alas! Why have I served this illusory material energy for so long?" He bitterly regrets, and he cries out, "Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated." Now, what does this do in the mind of Krishna? You know, he is someone who's met his devotee, who has heard from him, and is convinced of it. That I'm really not what I thought I am. I am a servant. How does Krishna react to when that soul starts to cry for him? Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. He immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. He, in other words, is the one who cuts the chain, not you. You can't do it. When the jiva breaks away from Maya's captivating spell and strives towards Lord Krishna by rendering devotional service, he regains the supreme shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. And now I think this is at the essence of solving the problem of being chained. Lord Krishna will come and give that soul who anxiously cries for his mercy strength, so that the soul is not reduced to his own feeble attempts any longer, but all of a sudden feels some unknown strength in his heart. Jagadananda Pandit expresses it like this. Lord Krishna fortifies him with his transcendental internal potency, and this overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence on the living entity. Krishna invests strength to make it like a picture. You could see a ray of strength is coming into you, putting light into your heart of Krishna consciousness, and you will and the darkness, the overwhelming darkness, the iron chain will just disintegrate by that overbearing transcendental potency given by the Lord. My dear devotees, in my own little analysis studying the theology of the Hare Krishna movement, I have seen that there is a great warning placed before all of us to not imagine something, to not enter into fantasized states of exalted states in Krishna consciousness, but to really work. We have a few slogans: work now, samadhi later, and others which are quoted again and again by well-intentioned swamis for our elucidation and enlightenment. And after some time, our consciousness says, I got it. I am a wretch. And I will stay one. I think this is not right. I think we should speak about the hope and the promise of a real process. I'm talking a little dramatically because I want to get at a point. Please see it as a learning tool. You know, I know that we now have very good expositions of Krishna consciousness. I know that, but I want to get at a point. I want to attack a conditioning which is there, a chain. And for that I need to paint it and say something overly clear so that you can engage your mind with these things. Think about something, grab onto something and work with that. You have a relationship with Krishna, always. Krishna is always there, and he waits sincerely for the time when you express yourself within that relationship. When you seriously and sincerely say, my Lord, though I have forgotten you, please, from now on, see me in a different light. See me as a sincere and serious servant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the voice of a beginner, expresses this in this exasperated, exhausted voice of the conditioned soul who sees, I can't do it on my own. I need Krishna to step into this effort of my life. He expresses it as a copinut. Just the fact that I'm a lusty sinner, does this mean that I'm a stranger to you? You have liberated the demons. What's about me? Am I so bad that I'm worse than a demon? Am I a stranger always to you? Then he expressed it very nicely. It's like really someone who talks now in a relationship with Krishna. He says, my Lord, I must confess to you, I'm trying, but I'm failing. Because my mind and my senses are not under my control. It doesn't work. But does this mean we don't have a relationship? Please, you, to me, Hrishikesha, to me, you are the Lord of the senses, no? Is that your name? Hrishikesh? Whose senses? Everyone else than my senses? Whose mind? The mind is the inner sense, huh? Sixth sense. Everyone's mind and not my mind? This is how you can approach the Lord with prayer. It's not impossible. He waits for this. And chanting is that prayer. You can approach him chanting with a sense of relationship. And what that means, I have been severely criticized by the constant army of good intention critics around me, that you always talk rasa bhakti, you always talk the higher stage. No, I'm not. I'm talking now about how you can do this. What is legitimate by our acharyas? Listen. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, as long as we don't chant with a sense of relationship, our chanting is only namabhasa, a shadow of chanting. And I have joked with the devotees to make it, if Divyambara and Purusha Shukta said, say when we go to the morning breakfast prasadam, hi folks, today we will be very innovative here. It's a japa retreat level 3. And they bring such a lamp and shine it on the prasadam, and then there is a shadow of the prasadam, like the shadow of my hand. And then they say, today, for economic reasons, we request you to eat the shadow. Will you be satisfied? I will be the first to leave because I am very hungry these days. When you have the shadow of bhakti, when you have the shadow of the name, namabhasa, you cannot be cured. You will not be nourished. You will always go and see your entertainment in the material world, your taste in the material world, your taste and you, what you look for. You will continue with the chain. You will not be able to detach from Maya, at least not in your mind. You can dress in a sannyasi cloth like I do, but your mind will remain hungry, a hungry Hare Krishna, who is not experiencing the real taste of Krishna consciousness. And that reflects within our activities in our culture. When we see plays on japa, we always see, what do we see? Me and my mind. Yesterday we had another one of these cultural innovations, you know. We always see it's a struggle. That's how we propose, and how in our culture that chanting has reflected itself as a struggle. Our children remember japa as a punishment. You know, you have to have an effective punishment. When they do something wrong, they have to chant an extra round. Or you can ask Manu how the punishment was meted out. He has taken careful note of it. It's a struggle. It's something unpleasant. It's a shadow. It doesn't give nourishment, spiritual nourishment. That's how we have unconsciously already imbibed it. You know, in our culture, dramas, you know, letters to the holy name. Oh, I don't have a relationship to you. I'm very fallen. I don't know you, Nam Prabhu, and so on. We are fully in the chain, fully chained. Effectively chained. So sambandha gyan, it seems to be so simple. The scriptures say you meet a sadhu, that's Jagadananda, he talks to you, then you cry out, Krishna, my Lord, I see it, I'm your eternal servant, I have left the shelter of your lotus feet, now please be causelessly merciful. Done. Chain is broken. That's how this. But But you have to say it. You have to feel it. You have to enter into this. And for this, there is a meditation which we will practice very soon. That means in the workshop. But here is what Bhakti Vinod Tagore says, Sambandha Gyan consists of. It's three, those of you who study self-improvement literature would say affirmations, meditations. It starts like this. I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and the eternal servant of Krishna. This is the first place you go into it. We will practice this very solidly in the morning session. We will have a meditation forged around this. Second step. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. It means Maya is not my master. I don't wish to be a slave of Maya any longer. And the third, the material world is the prison house that is meant to reform. Be alert, and new word will come to you now. That is meant to reform my truant tendencies. Who is a knower of the English language? What does truant mean? Jai Radhe. You are an English teacher.
When you break the laws, break the rules, you are against what you're supposed to do, you're considered truant.
Truant, yes.
You don't go to school.
Yeah. Oh, it's a truancy offense. Yeah. The material world is the prison house that is meant to reform my truant tendencies. I have an Oxford dictionary like this and a team of English consultants they used the word in your last thing, truant, you are truant in school. I was like this, Jai Radhe. I never went to school. I needed one person who was with me all the time, who pulled me to the school. And he was before the door and kept looking at the windows. I was so against school. It is amazing. And to be truant means, in German language, schwänzen. Man schwänzt die Schule. Schwänzen means, I don't know if Manu remembers this word, schwänzen. Ein Schulschwänzer. It means you are expected to be somewhere, but you are not. You just not, it's defiant, you know. A Schulschwänzer is defiant, and only because my father was so rich, they couldn't throw me out of school. You know. But a lot of briberies had to be paid. It's just so offensive. It's like you have an appointment and you don't show up, you know. Truant. You're truant. Du schwänzt. Let's hear some good German, you know, because the sound vibration is just so aggressive. This is how we are in relationship to Krishna. We are truant. We are just not there. When we chant, we are just not there. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama. Not one time we are thinking, oh Krishna, for so long, I am not present in our relationship. Kindly, kindly, kindly engage me. Kindly accept me. We are just not doing that. We're just doing everything else. Mind control, aligning body, senses and everything to the practice. Just making it a yogic proposal. You must bring some devotion to your chanting. Bring some sambandha. Just do three steps. Understand who you are. You're not the body, not the mind. The mind future and the body future is very gloomy. But your spiritual future can be hopeful. Second thing is, think of Krishna, or Radha Krishna, whose name you are chanting. And pray, I don't want this being a slave of Maya. And then the next is the material world, is the prison house that is meant to reform my truant tendencies. I'm here for a certain purpose. The purpose is to again enter the relationship. That's all why, the only reason why I'm here. That's the only agenda. That's the only purpose. That's the only motive. That's the only program which I have here in this world. There are two ways of chanting. Bahirmukha japa, that is, you can chant. Bahirmukha means the face turning outward, to this world, to your thoughts. Thoughts are also products of the world. And there is antarmukha japa. That is, you turn your face inward. And inward here means you turn it to the real issues. You are a soul. Krishna is your only master. Radha and Krishna are their mistress and master. And you are now doing the work. Work is very simple. Please accept me. I'm sorry. Please accept me. Have you ever been in a relationship which you have broken? And only you did it? And after some time, you felt this was not good. I was like this with my parents. For 30 long years, I had broken the relationship. Because I had my reasons, I have my excuse reasons. But after all, they are my parents. Then I learned from someone that my father intended that when he said that. And when he did that, he really meant that. In other words, I understood why he was so... why he did it, and I had misunderstood him entirely, and I revolted with an eruption. I wrote him, I am dead and you are dead in our relationship. Don't try to contact me, I won't contact you. And then I understood, my God, this is a mistake. And then I studied psychology. You are deranged. You are completely finished when you don't have a good relationship to the parents. Don't we all know this? Modern psychology. You have all read it by now. Said, that's why I'm so aggressive. That's why I'm so impossible to deal with. That's why I'm so I'm a broken psychologist. I'm a traumatized individual. I will never make it in my life. Okay, what to do? I wrote him a letter. No answer. I wrote him a second letter. No answer. I called my brother. Tell him, please. No answer from the father. It was difficult. It was really difficult. And I said, okay, this doesn't work. I will make a surprise visit. So I was very busy. Hare Krishna Swamis are very busy. But I went. Very softly, no answer. Okay. I didn't want to ring the bell. Felt so bad. No answer. Had to really go loud. No answer. Of course, I had been detected by the video camera. And there was no answer. Okay. What to do now? I have to get my mother on my side. But I've also broken with her. So, okay. Mothers are easy. you know. So went to the mother, and then after, it's a long story, finally the door to our home opened, and my father was there, and I've never seen a person crying like that. He said, "I'm so happy. I'm just so happy that you are here. Let's not talk. Let's just walk in the favorite pastimes places of your childhood. Let's just walk there when our relationship was intact. And then after 1 hour we can talk." Because he is also a determined man, just like me. You know. So we walked for 1 hour. I was very happy. And then we talked, and then I profoundly excused myself. It was, I really misunderstood you, and I'm very sorry, and I'm, and then he said to me, behind his tears, "This stubbornness you have earned from your father." And then the ice was broken, you know. In other words, he said he is also not faultless, you know. This is how we have to enter the chanting. We are also, we are traumatized and chained by Maya. They're a very, very bad situation. Now we have to make good. Sometimes devotees ask me, "Why should I chant 16 meaningless rounds?" I've given up on that. I have learned self-improvement literature. It doesn't help me. I said, show Krishna that you want him. Knock on his door. That's why you should chant 16 rounds. Yes, only when the relationship starts, you will feel you will feel that there is no. Only when the relationship starts, you will feel some taste, and you will be relieved from shadowy chanting, which doesn't nourish you. Yes, I know that. I know that shadowy chanting, where you feel no relationship, where you're still in the broken relationship, it won't work. I agree. But now, knock at his door. Knock at his door. Do you want the relationship or not? Do you want to correct your truant mentality? Willst du deine schwänzerische Mentalität korrigieren? In German language. Or not? This is the question. Therefore, today we have the first day entering into a relationship. That's really what we are trying to do. I will make one last point, and then I will open the forum for questions. And I want to tell you, because you might now be all interested. Yeah, I want to do this. Can we please try this? For that you have to come to the workshop. There we will really work on that with devotional tools. But I really want to say something which I think will be a discovery for you. When Mahaprabhu talks about chanting, he uses the example of spiritual gardening, which appears in every 10th lecture which we hear in ISKCON. You know it, and I will not explain it. But I will go into a deeper level of this, a psychological level. For those who would like to just have a, what was that example? Can you just say, just very briefly. The seed of bhakti is given by the spiritual master. You remember Jagadananda Pandit? You walk, you meet a sadhu, and he explains to you something. And then you bring this seed in your consciousness and plant the plant of bhakti. Now, let's take it into one level deeper. I will give now the same example, but talk differently. You have to now be very alert and a little, I mean, you are all old devotees, you know our philosophy. First of all, what is the seed of bhakti? Second question I want to raise is, where do you plant it? In the heart. What is that? What? Where? What? How? Third is, I will ask the third question. The seed of bhakti is two things. It's sambandha gyan, knowledge of the relationship, and anyone else? What is the second seed, part of the seed? Yes, Rukmini. Abhideya gyan. It's the knowledge of my relationship with Krishna and what I do. This is precisely the seed. You can find this definition in Prabhupada's writings on this. You can find it in Jagadananda Pandit. You meet a spiritual a sadhu, and then what happens? He will give you knowledge of your relationship, that you have a relationship. What does this mean? He tells that you are a spirit soul, my dear, bewildered soul, and you are eternal servant. Servant means a relationship, and it implies an activity. You do service. These two things, knowledge of who I am and who is Krishna, and also what I should do on the spiritual level, consists the seed. You know, you can imagine the seed a little bit like a chickpea, which has two sides to it. Have you seen chickpea? So this seed has two tire seed. Do we say two tire seed or two part seed or two tiered? Tiered? Yes. It's not really tiered. This is a tiered thing. Okay. Two-sided seed. Thank you. Two-chambered, yes. It's very important we get clear about this. What the seed is. If there are sometimes these seeds, you know, when you break them open, they're somehow two and one. Chickpeas, it's two and one. You please go to the kitchen. Yeah. Two halves, really, yes. Yeah. There are two parts to this seed. Two halves to the seed, but it's one seed. Knowing that you are related to Krishna and that you do abhideya. And then you have to plant it. Where do you have to plant it? Let's get psychological now. You have to plant it. I'm only trained in Vedic psychology. I offer courses very soon. Into your antakarana. Antakarana means your subtle body. It means your inner instrument. Now what's that, the antakarana? It has a mana, an active mind. Manas, an active mind. Buddhi, a reflective mind. We sometimes say intelligence. And it has chitta, a conscious awareness and a feeling of identity. Ahankara. That's your subtle body. Manas, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara. So the seed of bhakti must be deeply implanted there. Your mind must feel, I am a servant of Krishna. Your buddhi, your intelligence must have reflected about this. I am not the body. Remember, Prabhupada said, real spiritual life starts from there. I'm not the body. You must bring it into your awareness. I'm aware of this. Yeah, I'm walking with this body, but I'm a spirit soul. You know, it's not enough on the T-shirt. You must bring it into your inner body, and you must feel it, bring it into your feeling of ahankara, so that it becomes the real I. No? You must transform this. This knowledge must be contemplated constantly, my dear devotees, so that the vasanas means impulses and desires, which remain in the subconsciousness, like hungry sharks, huh? They are like greed, sympathy, and antipathy, can't eat your seed. Deep contemplation brings this the seed of bhakti into your heart, so that it's there. If it's not deep, Your seat is somewhere here, you know, only in your theoretical, reflective mind. Active mind, or reactive mind, you could say. Then the storm of Maya will come. Just blow it out of your mind. We say this so often in American English. You blew my mind. Huh? Yes, Maya blew our minds, you know, and took the seed of the Bhakti Lata out of our mind. It must be planted deep, just like some of you are gardening. People, I know Vishaka wrote in the Back to Godhead a wonderful article about spiritual gardening many years ago, and she has informed us we must push the seed very deeply in the ground so that birds and who come to get the seeds and wind can't just blow it away so easily. So that, how do we implant the seed of bhakti deeply? Deep contemplation. How many of you read Prabhupada's books? That is a means of contemplation to bring it deeper the understanding. And then you can really, from a deep place in you, can say, "Oh Krishna, for so many long years I have forgotten you." My dear Lord Krishna, I want to chant the verse again for you. Krishna tumana yadi bale kabada maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." This verse, I request you to make a note of it so that you can read it and find it. Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text number 33. Madhya Leela, 22:33. "Please engage me in your service." That's the place from where you can chant. A place of relationship. If you so wish, please repeat it. My dear Lord Krishna, you kindly look at our deities. My dear Shishi Radha Nila Madhava, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." Is there a response? Can there be a response? Yes, and the scripture says, quotes one verse where the Lord responds. Krishna very emphatically says, "It is my vow that if one only once sincerely surrenders unto me, saying this and prays to me for courage, then I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from what that time on. Courage, or as Jagadananda Pandit says, fortification by the transcendental internal potency. We need that so that the overbearing or overwhelming power of Maya is overwhelmed by the overbearing power of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, I admit to you that it's not easy to say this. I admit that it is easier said than said. I remember a lecture by our Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, where he said, it was a year before his departure, his last Gopunim festival, that we should, I'm not sure, it was at the deity installation of Panchatattva. Was that his last Gopunim festival, or was there maybe another one? Either the last or one of the last. Huh? He said,
one before the last,
yes. He did feel it already coming, and he said, we should all pray a prayer. My dear Lord, please take away everything away from me which needs to be taken away so that I become your sincere servant, and give me all the experiences I need to have so that I can become your sincere servant. Now, when he said that, I heard about the lecture, so I requested a DVD recording, my modern recording, with picture, and I saw this, and when I saw that video, the chain spoke. No, I said, I won't pray this prayer. And I could see the chain speaking to me. Then I knew for the first time how intense the chain is. I could feel an intuitive response. I'm not ready. I don't want a leg amputation after I have, after I had just been out of hospital and merely survived it. I don't want this. I want cream cheese. That response was there. I could see my chain. I could see that. I could hear it. But I have good news. We can chant in a relationship, please engage me in your service. And then after some time, when we are stopping our truant mentality, we will be ready for surrender. And by the way, surrender. See, this is another chain. It's a pleasant thing, but we have this, oh, when we hear surrender in our Hare Krishna movement, we go like, please, I go to the dentist, I go to the surgery, but not surrender. You know, we hear that because we have a culture, a chain culture. The chain has made it into our mind. So, by the way, I have prayed this prayer, which Bhaktitirtha Maharaj prayed, and nothing has happened to me. I'm so healthy like I was never before. You know, I just wanted to churn you by saying, the first reaction, I'm truthfully saying, was no, I'm not doing that. I saw what happened to you. I'm not doing it. Then I thought, this is the chain speaking. Krishna is Krishna. This is a devotee's individual thing. And by the way, he is a mystic. My God brother is a mystic. He knew what he was going through. And he was very purposefully using his time to preach to us. Did you notice how much he preached at the end? He used his position of authority and to reach us. He was a wonderful, wonderful preacher. He was a 100% preacher. Knowing his tools, knowing how to speak to us and to get our full attention to his wonderful messages. There was one situation. Krishna took him in this way so that I don't want to now interpret his. I don't think it's fair to interpret Krishna's plan with his dear servant. So, but we, it's good when Krishna sees that you are turning to him in a relationship. He will not give you the club. He will give you tears of joy. Oh, thank you that you knocked on that door. Let's walk together. Be silent now. Let's chant. And no, chanting for me is going on a walk with Krishna. And be, let the mind be silent. Don't talk now. Just chant. Good. I thank you very much for your kind attention. Please excuse me that I was a little dramatic in this lecture. I won't do this so often. I just wanted to set a theme today. I wanted to reach you. And one needs to be a little bit like this, I feel. But I'm not always sure. My dear Prabhu, I'm not in America. It's every country has a different way of communicating, and when I do mistakes, please only forgive me. It's because I somehow feel very strongly for this. If you would ask me after so many years, Sachinanda Swami, what really, in one word, please, not a long lecture, will make the chanting work, I would just say, Sambandha, relationship, and chanting. That's the only thing I know, really. One word I know. But that I know because it is wonderful. Once that key is taken, whoop, everything opens. And I see that in the scriptures. You know, when it says this verse, one is immediately free from Maya's clutches if one simply says this. You know, one has to ask, is this a hype? Is this a pep talk? Or is it true? And one has to understand. And one understands it. It works when you understand. It's about a relationship. It's about, you know, correcting the truant mentality. We are all truant. We are awfully truant in that relationship. It's about that. That's when it all starts, or in American slang, then that's when the mercy kicks in, Prabhus. I have to talk in understandable language. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I think we have... We are good in time. Yagya Purusha Prabhu and Arjuna City. To when is this session going? Which is the time? 8:45. I'm only 4 minutes over time. You must acknowledge this punctuality. This is amazing. Wow! Hare Krishna. Wow. Hare Krishna. The punctuality, yes. I myself amazed by the punctuality. No, it's really true. And please come today, rest it into the workshop, because we will really get into this point now. We want to make a practice out of it. Now it's theory, but this won't work. We now need to do it, and that we will do in the workshop. Hare Krishna.
minutes.